This is a really good idea. Let's go ahead and set up the mics.
And we'll do a recording. We'll go ahead and do the intro.
We could maybe like do the intro and then pick the movie. Like we could just save ourselves a lot of time setting up the mics, then watch the movie immediately. You know, we won't have to set up the mics afterwards and we'll have more time, you know, to get our episodes done.
I like it. Okay. We'll pump these out.
If we're doing this as a separate podcast soon. What date are we going to do that separate podcast, by the way? We said June.
I thought this was going to be the separate podcast. I thought this was going to be the first. No, actually, Bugsy Malone was supposed to be the first. Have You Seen My Childhood?
Yeah, that's when we changed the name, but then I didn't even put it on the title, so we kind of have to do another one.
Right.
Yeah, well, again.
Well, I feel like we owe Steve an apology then.
Yes,
he was pretty excited to be on the first episode of Have You Seen
My
Childhood.
Well, let's promote this one as the second episode, then. But it's the first one we did actual.
So when we start this new podcast, it'll be like number three. Would be the first episode on the new label.
Do you think we should just put this on the Hodge Podcast feed, though?
I mean, we could, I guess. That's fine.
So
we can just get it up.
So, Hodge Podcast listeners or debut listeners of Have You Seen My Childhood? Do you want this to be the debut episode? Because what are we going to watch, even? We haven't even picked out what our big debut is.
Well, I want to watch Ghost Cat with Ellen Page.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking Ghost Cat. They also have Vampire Dog.
Yeah, well, those are in the vein of each other, I feel.
Do you feel, are they like sister films that were they made at the same time?
I think they're like, yeah, one maybe spins off the other, maybe, I don't know.
Same universe, okay, well, do you want to watch one of those?
I don't know.
Which one do you want to watch? Do you want to watch Vampire Dog or Ghost Cat? Which one sounds better?
They both sound, I don't know, I can't pick, they both sound really good.
We gotta pick one.
No, well then you pick.
Do you expect me to pick?
Yeah. I expect you to pick from those two.
How do you expect me to pick between a vampire dog and a ghost cat?
I don't know, but you better pick it, because I don't want to.
That's why I wanted you to start.
Yeah.
You know what?
Well, I need
you to lead the way sometimes. I don't know where to go. I don't even know if I want to do this podcast.
Whoa.
I don't even know if I want to be your best friend anymore.
So wait, we were best friends, but now we're enemies?
Yeah.
So we're frenemies.
Frenemies. Why don't you just type frenemies into Netflix? See if anything comes up when you type that in. You got any movies about that? Maybe we can do one. Maybe this will be the final episode of Have You Seen My Childhood.
There's a Disney 2012 release, the Disney Channel original. It's called Frenemies. It sounds perfect for us.
Let's put it on.
It has three mini stories. It's like Tales from the Crypt.
So we get to learn three different stories about other people that are right now experiencing what we're experiencing. Meaning neither of them can decide between whether or not they want to watch Vampire Dog or Ghost Cat, and they decide instead to watch a Disney Channel original movie called Frenemies.
I sure hope that's what it's about.
Well, let's do this.
Justin, I want you to be my best friend again.
I do too, because I really like that. That was good.
That was great.
Let's just go right into the episode.
I've
left the recorder on, but I think that got a little bit too personal.
I think so. We really heated things up there.
Yeah, let's not release that part. Let's just go right into this part. I was really surprised when this movie started out because it was like there was an iPad on it.
Right, and it's two girls talking about, and they're both using the iPad together and pinching videos and pulling up clips and...
Already I don't like this because...
Already I'm pissed off.
I'm like, you know what? Yeah, there's been tablets. There's been tablets in the world, right?
Right.
But I'm not ready for the point where a movie's framing device is, hey, look at all these videos on my iPad.
Hey, we really didn't know how to tie this story together. So we figured two girls going through an iPad talking about it would be appropriate.
So I'm already in a little bit of a bad mood as soon as Frenemies starts.
Bad taste in our mouth.
Well, this is going to continue us being frenemies if we watch this.
Yeah, this isn't going to be good.
This is not going to patch.
Luckily, the first story starts out, however, with a dog waking a young man up by farting in his face.
Oh, and right then I'm like, oh, we picked the right movie.
Wait a minute, we're friends again. One dog, fart face, we're friends again.
As the credits are rolling, I realize that they call each segment an act. It's like Act 1, Act 2, Act 3. All written by, I believe, different people.
Yes.
So there were a lot of people involved in the production of Frenemies. You know, this had to go through a lot of hands before we got to the movie itself. I'm wondering, do you think maybe it was like a TV show originally?
I think it was a book.
It was a book?
Yeah, okay. It's like a book, I think.
So is it like a series? Is it like a Diary of a Wimpy Kid?
I have a feeling it was written a long time ago, because a lot of the references are really dated.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing that's kind of stood out about this movie is it feels, as you described it, as a 40-year-old writing for 14-year-olds.
Yeah, he had kids, and they're all grown up now.
They're having kids,
and he doesn't really talk to them, because he knows nothing about children today.
So let's go through how dated some of these references
are.
Okay,
I got a list.
I believe in the list. If I'm not mistaken, it goes as early or as, you know, recent as Zac Efron.
Okay.
And as far back as the Macarena.
The Macarena, and the dog, was doing the Macarena. We'll come to that later.
Okay.
The other list includes Tony Hawk references, the GPS and how important it is for them to use a GPS, not like on a phone or anything. It is a very old, like, TomTom.
And also, at one point, they have to use a map, and it's almost like they have to use stone tablets to find out where they're going. Like, it's like, seems to be such a task that they can't understand a map.
J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez reference.
Yes, that's what the guy wants the voice of his GPS to be. He names it that.
And yet the kids all have tablets in this movie. They all use Razor cell phones.
That's the first thing I noticed. Like, and it's weird. They do have, like, a nice iPhone smartphone the minute it is necessary for the plot. Any other point, they have Razor phones. I think even the same character, I think the redheaded girl had a smartphone when it was convenient, and then a Razor phone when it wasn't.
Yeah. I think we should really just sum it up, and I think nothing does better than this IMDb summary that I see in front of me that is one sentence. It is geek versus chic, beauty versus beast, downtown versus uptown. And that sums up Frenemies.
That is a perfect summary of Frenemies.
What a classic.
We could just cut the episode right now. You already know what it means. But let's go
in a little bit
more detail.
Friendship.
Now, the first one?
Oh, it was Jake, the kid.
Okay.
He's like a math whiz.
So which one is that from the IMDb review?
That's got to be Beauty versus Beast, because it's the dog versus that girl.
Okay, so
so we'll start with Beauty versus
Yeah,
Beast.
We got to go in order of the movie. And honestly, best segment of the movie.
Honestly, I took the most notes. The dog is the best. It's one of those situations where the dog understands English, which is my favorite thing in any sort of child's movie, where dogs are just like, the dog catches a character saying something like they're not supposed to at one point, like, gotcha, now I am against you. So basically what the story is Jake is this really smart kid, and they're all setting up for the science fair that they all have to participate in, and everybody's, like, trying to trick him into being his partner because he's smart and he'll just do the whole thing.
He's expecting an award from NASA.
Yeah.
Which I thought my favorite part was he got second place in the award.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Like, they're like, well, we want this kid to be smart, but not too good. So the dumb kids will still kind of be like, well, he's all right with me. Just second place. He's not the first place from NASA.
So this girl tricks him, more or less, into doing the project by saying, I always hate it when everybody makes me do all the work. And he's like, me too. So they team up, and it just turns out that she's using him.
Yeah, she's using him as a chump.
Yeah. And the dog overhears this. They were best friends, him and the dog, which I didn't realize they were the ones that were going to become frenemies.
Oh, I didn't either.
Until nearly halfway through this.
Well, to be honest, I completely forgot about it being three acts. So I kind of was sitting there thinking, like, well, wait, what's going on with the two girls who have the iPad? Why? I thought they were going to be the ones that aren't the friends anymore. However, That's right, three acts. So a whole first one, I was really kind of confused for a lot of it. But then when I realized we're getting to three more stories, oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
What a treat. Well, then they go to the dog park, and this is one of my favorite things of the whole movie, because the girl hates the dog. The dog hates the girl. The dog brings over a slobbery ball and gets on her dress, and she gets pissed, and she's like, it's silk! Get it out of my silk dress!
It's like a certain percentage of silk, too. 60, it's not even
and now
like...
she's like, it's 10% slobber.
Ugh.
What a bitch. But, okay, so then she throws the ball.
That doesn't make sense. That would make 110% of a sweater. Do you realize that?
But, okay, so then she throws the ball for the dog, and it is CGI'd, the ball. Like, it's like, yeah, they could have just had the girl throw the ball.
Well, no, didn't you ever watch The Sandlot? Throwing like a girl, it's not a good thing. They wanted to make sure she was well represented.
Okay.
By a CG ball.
All right.
Sexist ass Disney Channel.
Well, so then ultimately, the ball ends up in another character who we find out later, who will be in one of the other stories.
Yeah, because Frenemies, not only is it three stories, but it's like the Pulp Fiction of Disney Channel movies.
Yeah, someone's going to end up in a ball gag and have to be freed with a ninja sword. So you more or less figure out that this girl's probably going to end up with this dude, not this bitchy girl. You know, she's sweet, she likes the dog, likes her. Then the evil girl, they go back, and the dog wrecks the room because the boy and him kind of fight over the girl. Because that's what you do when you date a girl. You fight with your dog about it. And so he tears up his room, but he's like, cool. Thank God he didn't tear up my second place certificate from NASA.
Yeah, because he had it taped to the wall. Yeah. Like, that's going to be the one thing that's going to prevent the dog from going.
And the girl's like,
it.
You need to send this dog to the pound. And he's like, I'm not going to do that, but I am going to yell at him.
I've known you for a day, sister. I'll work with the dog first, but then he's going to the pound.
That's pretty crazy.
That's how much this guy has turned into a friend. Like, I thought that little scuffle we had earlier where we became frenemies was bad.
Not this bad.
This is bad. This actually is the definition of frenemies. I believe the first time the word frenemies has ever been used in a movie was at this point in the movie. And let's go ahead to a clip.
Jake, I know you're mad at him, but he's still your best friend.
Mom, we were best friends. Now we're enemies.
Frenemies.
Precisely.
That's the moment. That's the moment you were waiting for. As soon as you were in a movie called Frenemies, you're thinking,
I better hear it.
I better hear him say frenemies at some point in this movie. And I think they might have said it at the beginning, but that's different. That's in narration.
Yeah. Like
that, it has to come naturally in conversation for it to be worthwhile.
What happens next is the girl sprays her perfume on the certificate so the dog will rip it up. And the dog goes and puts it in the toilet and starts flushing it, and the kid gets it out, and then you have to go to a clip on this.
This is the worst thing you've ever done. You're the worst dog. I hate you. Get out of here. Get out.
Okay, and the thing you don't get to see when we play the clip is after he yells that at the dog, zooms in very slow on the dog's face. It is super dramatic.
Yeah.
It definitely makes, honestly, this bumped up the score of Frenemies for me, at least. I don't know about you, but yeah. Just that shot of that dog alone. So can we gift that? Can you gift that?
Oh, we should.
You just graduated graphic design.
Let's gift it.
I'm going to hire you for Hodge Podcast Animated Gifts.
Gifts.
You make the gifs.
Is this like a free internship? This will look good on my resume.
Yeah, put it in. Hodge Podcast Network production assistant. Followed by Hodge Podcast Network co-owner.
After this, he goes to the school, and he hasn't seen his buddy for a day. The dog went and has been living at that other girl's house, the cool girl's house. Tony Hawk of Chicks.
Yeah.
He calls her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she skateboards,
and she's got a skateboarder. She's got a big crush on him.
Yeah.
But the
she
only
has
person that'll pay attention...
saved in the yearbook.
Yeah, the only person that'll pay attention is Murray.
Yeah.
She and Murray really bond, because they're both longing over Jake.
Right.
And I love that, though, that yes. They leave... She must leave the page open, that, or Murray really is talented enough to flip to that page, which is laying there, like...
And the dog perfectly leans its head in and puts his head on that kid's face. Oh, my God. That's another gift.
Super talented dog actors in this movie.
This
dog
actor. Is one of my other favorite parts of the movie is when the main kid goes back to the school, he runs into the characters that I call the bad pun bros. Because they're these two guys that were trying to swindle him to be their partner, and they only speak in really awful puns, but they back Murray up, because he's like, you never believe this. Murray trashed my room, and he ripped up my diploma, or my certificate from NASA. And he goes, they go, no way, dude. That's not like Murray at all. I know Murray. Murray never do that. Murray never do anything like that.
But they say a really great, you missed the pun part. You left out the pun.
Well, I was going to go ahead and you can do the pun.
I can do the pun?
Pun it up.
I don't remember what they said exactly.
But then he like has this like spider sense flash when he was trying to repair his like certificate, and he smelled the girl's perfume, and he's like, oh my gosh, she set me up. Meanwhile, Tony Hawk, the girl, finds out that this girl is just playing everyone in school for good grades.
Yeah.
She's got two other boyfriends that we know about.
Yeah, one of them is writing a report about the Scarlet Letter, and she doesn't even like the name of the book.
No.
She calls it the Scarlet Sweater and says,
well, I like that one better. That one, that's what it should be called.
She's the worst.
She has a sweater. She wears a sweater in it.
And you know what? That as somebody whose last name is Channel, but it's kind of spelled like it could be called Chanel, and having people go,
I don't know, I prefer Chanel.
I feel the pain that guy must feel like. You're trying to rename that book?
Yeah. People always say...
Because that's what you want?
Cosby would be a lot better.
Yeah, isn't
and
it?
I say...
Okay, hear me out, though. Cosby would be a lot better.
I don't know. I can't do a Bill Cosby.
You can't do a Bill Cosby?
No.
Oh, I was really hoping.
What happens is I start out trying to do a Bill Cosby and turns into a wicked Adam Sandler. I'll be like, yeah, no, Gordon.
If you wouldn't.
Yeah. Oh, there's a sweater. Oh, there's a porn pop.
It kind of seems like you're really trying to do an Adam Sandler and not just do a Bill Cosby.
Well, it starts out with good intentions.
So you couldn't just go like, oh, well, I got the jello puddings in it, and not have it just turn into a,
what's his son's name on that show?
Theo? You're right. It goes right.
It goes from top.
It's like,
oh, the Theo. Yeah, now.
See, your Bill Cosby impression is like somebody wound up like a Jack in the Box that does a Bill Cosby impression.
That doesn't work.
But it doesn't work. It does it for a little while. And then the spring winds down and it just starts going.
Do you think that's how Adam Sandler picked up his shtick?
Yeah, but you know what?
Bill Cosby
I feel like whenever I try to do an Adam Sandler impression, it slowly devolves into a Bill Cosby impression.
So like it's like out, we both have like a Benjamin Button sort of disease,
I'm like,
but we're reversed.
Yeah.
So you're the Cate Blanchett to my Brad Pitt. One day we'll meet in the middle, and you'll have a wicked you'll have a wicked Adam Sandler, and I'll have a wicked Cosby, hopefully. But that means I'm going to go out with a Cosby, and you're going to end up going out with a Sandler, so I'm sorry for your older years. So frenemies. Oh, baby birds. So she gets busted. Let's be honest. You knew it was coming. And then to get into our next segment, you're like, well, there'll probably be a smooth transition since we were opening all these other characters. Nope, back to the iPad.
Yeah, back to the iPad. But you missed out on the best part. Jake, when he finds out about this, because Savannah busts him, and he kind of likes Savannah, even though he's dating the kind of bitchy blonde girl. Let's just be honest here. Let's be fair. She's kind of bitchy.
Julianne.
Afterwards, though, Jake is pretty cool about everything. He's just like, here, you can have the science project. I don't care. Murray's not playing that. Homie don't play that.
Where did Murray come from? Boom, nowhere.
Jumps in through the classroom, attacks attacks the project, knocks on the floor. I mean, this was a nice project.
It was pretty slick.
It was like what? Like a windmill that powered... It was like
solar power. Wind power.
It wasn't solar.
It was definitely a giant.
It was definitely a giant windmill of some kind.
That's why we don't hang up our NASA certificates. Because they're not second places. And nor are they firsts.
Participant certificates are what we got. They do... Listen, folks, if you do pay for... the NASA competitions, they do at least send you a participant certificate. So you get to feel pretty spectacular. Even if you don't know anything about space. How many participant certificates do you have now?
I'd say like 18.
Yeah, I noticed your whole den was just covered in NASA participants.
I'm going to start laminating them and turn them into placemats for my table.
That would be
That's
a nice
good
table.
Conversation piece.
Like a coffee table or a kitchen table?
Depends on how many I end up with, really. So, sky's the limit. It's only as limited as my dreams, I suppose. As long as I just keep participating.
Anyway, back to frenemies.
So, I guess we'll move on to Geek versus Chic, which
Geek
is the second one.
Geek versus Chic, which, in the last segment, there are these two kind of annoying girls that run up and help out Jake with his fashion, because he's trying to look good for Julianne. And their names are Hallie and Avalon. And this is their story. They're best friends that run an internet website called Geeky Chic. Geek Chic?
Sheekly Geek.
Something like that.
Sheekly
Geek. Did I? Geekly Chic.
Geekly Chic.
Geekly Chic. I didn't look at the notes. I was just trying to go off the top of my head. I feel like you either took really good notes on frenemies, or you just paid a lot more attention to frenemies than I did.
A little bit of both. I actually really just took notes on the first one a lot.
Yeah, this
one... And then
one,
dumb things from these two.
This one I took a little bit more notes. Now, these two girls get a call from a big New York publisher who wants to publish their blog, and they think it's just this rich kid who's a jerk and won't let us buy space in the school newspaper. It's that guy just playing a trick. Nope, it's for real.
It's for reals.
It's for real. They're going to New York. How they get there is a mystery, because earlier in the segment, you learn these girls can't drive. And they have to rely on her brother, who's obsessed with his GPS's voice.
Yeah, and he wears the exact same pair of boxers that are always shown.
Yeah.
With little smiley faces.
Because one of the character traits is he doesn't wear his pants... like up, he doesn't wear a belt. He likes to show his boxer shorts.
Right,
that's like his.
Makes it easier to pee. Let's be honest.
That's a big problem I have
with
frenemies. Is it was very fashion oriented. I felt like that was a big problem. Like it was a little bit too of a superficial of a movie.
I'm not a young fashionista.
I don't care about this.
Granted, they got us. We were the target audience for the first one. People who love dogs doing stuff.
Yeah.
So I think this one wasn't for us.
This one was like a bait and switch for us.
Right.
Except we went in expecting a movie that would help cure our frenemy problem. And what we got was something that we thought, oh, it's just going to be about this guy and this dog. Oh, no, never mind. It's going to jump around a little bit. And we're going to have to watch this really not that good segment with these two girls.
Yeah, and apparently these two girls have their own television show that's been running for...
Are you kidding me?
67 episodes. Shake It Up. It's a dance show.
It's called Shake It Up.
Yeah.
It's a dance show.
Yeah.
Because there's a dance number later in the movie.
That's how the movie ends in Bollywood fashion. They all just dance to the credits that end.
No. There's not even credits.
It cuts to till in the credits. Like, you know, they dance and then it goes into
Yeah. And then we get to see outtakes of the dog during the credits. Those folks.
Dogs fucking up all those shots. Oh.
Even if you've started Frenemies and you paused it and you said, well, wait a minute, let's see what Hodge Podcast thought about Frenemies.
Or I don't want anybody to walk in on me while I'm watching all these teenagers dance. Fast forward through it, get to the credits. There's a hilarious outtake reel of a dog.
Great.
Dropping a cell phone, not in a trash can.
You know what's great, though, is in the background of one of the shots, for continuity, you can tell they had the girl, like, had to move her hand whenever the dog ran. And you could just see in the background her, like, hesitating for the dog to actually jump off of the bed at the right time to move her hand. Which I really wish there was another camera rolling just to see her fumbling all these takes and being really upset, like, we gotta get a better dog. My hand is getting really tired.
So what happens when they get to the magazine place is the woman says, well, I'm only gonna hire one of you because I'm a bitch, more or less. She's evil. The minute they show up the office, a girl leaves the office crying. So you're like, oh, we're in for a real treat. And so she says, well, I'm going to have an old school competition. You both write one article. Whoever's this better gets the job. So then these two best friends,
they're like, I want to be with my best friend to do this. And she says, well, you know, I had a best friend one time too. Guess what? I gave her first job as my maid, bitch.
And then I fired her. She wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think she said bitch, and I don't know if the tone was that good, but I just didn't want to go to a clip right there. That's more work for me later. Oh, way more work for me.
No doubt. So they both decide they're going to write this article about the same thing because they both came up with the idea. Really, one girl comes up with the idea and the other girl steals it.
She's just looking at it on her iPad. She's like, hey, would it be great to do a story about this French singer, Jean-Franc?
Jean-Franc?
Jean-Franc from
Maybe my
France?
Favorite character in the movie, though. Jean-Franc.
Jean-Franc is a pretty fantastic part of this movie because, well, we'll get to it in a minute, but they're fighting over who's going to get to interview Jean-Franc. I forget how it goes. One of them gets a ticket from the rich kid, right? The rich assholes, like, I can get you a ticket to the Jean-Franc concert. And it's like through an elaborate stream.
It's like a friend of a friend who knows a friend who does his laundry.
Something like
that. And then,
yeah.
Like, so the other girl finds out about this for, and then so she goes and takes his phone, and for some reason, through all those connections, he got the dude's number. She calls, sets up a fake interview. But there's one of my favorite lines of the movie is because this is actually made me laugh. She's like talking to him and he talks in French, but she doesn't know French. So she's talking in, she's speaking English, but she's talking with a French accent.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, talking with a French accent in English is still speaking English.
I like that you didn't do a French accent there.
Yeah. It just goes right to Adam Sandler. So
is every dialect you do, does it turn into Adam Sandler?
Yeah, people thought I was Bane, but there's no way because it would have turned into Adam Sandler.
You're right.
I can't do those.
You're right. Like, try, because some people said that you could be Petey Bartonelli on the Lodge podcast.
Nope. I don't even know how that guy talks.
Okay, let's get your dialects. Let's worry about that another time. We're trying to get through frenemies here. And we're already to the point where we're just like, ah, that girl and that girl, that guy.
And that thing. And then they were just like, fuck it with that bitch.
Which is pretty much what happens in the end. They just say, ah, fuck it.
Jean-Franc's.
They go and interview.
French.
Yeah, he's not even French. So they get a big scoop. And they teach him, hey, don't pretend to be French when you're American.
Yeah.
Which literally is what he's doing. He's like, oh, I was in America. Nobody cared about me. So I went to France. Thought I'd pretend to be the most French person possible in France. Then I'd come back to America and I'd show them.
Right.
Seems like a really elaborate plan to show people that you're not the same person. You're this French guy. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, really.
So then
it's frenemies. Come on,
right,
folks.
So they turn in their article. And the woman says, well, which one you wrote this? And they say, well, both of us wrote this because we're best friends. Damn it.
They're best friends forever.
Forever.
And I want to mention earlier when they're fighting and they're frenemies, they say they're best friends for never. I like that a lot. I thought that was a pretty, like, ooh, because that's still a BFF, even though for never is not a word. However, I think we should try to get for never into the vernacular of popular culture enough that it makes it into the dictionary along with frenemies.
Love it. Love it.
I'm in. So the campaign starts today. Start using frenemies as well as best friends for never, or just for never as much as possible. You can use it outside of that phrase because we're trying to get them into Webster-Merriam Dictionary.
Yeah. That's what we're working on now.
We're working on it. First, we got to get through frenemies.
Right.
So
then they get a deal through that annoying rich kid because he had a crush on one of the girls, and they get a spot on some TV show. That says, I want to interview the best friends behind Geekly Chic. And they're like, let's do it. And that's the end of that story. Back to the iPad.
And we go to, basically, it's kind of like the Parent Trap, except for it's kind of like the Boyfriend Trap.
Right.
Savannah, the skateboarding girl.
She meets Emma, who looks exactly like her.
They look exactly the same. And they meet up with.
And she's British and rich. Whereas Savannah is a tomboy who lives with a bunch of brothers that fart and burp and eat all the food.
Yeah, they're awful, awful little brothers. So they meet up at the mall, and they're like, holy crap, we look the same. They go to the food court and have some pizza with Hallie and Avalon from Story 2.
Boom.
And they come up with the idea, hey, why don't you two swap places, do the old switcheroo, Disney favorite plot device switcheroo. Oh,
I love it.
I mean, what do you got? You got Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
You got The Parent Trap.
Love Bug. Girl switches with a car. Is that what that's about?
I never saw it. I do not think that's what The Love Bug is about.
Huh.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But regardless, they've at least
no two mobile. Of them,
how many times they've done Freaky Friday. What was it?
No Mobile. No Mobile. You seen that?
What is No Mobile?
It's about a bunch of gnomes that drive a car. There's a whole bunch of them together.
Is this a real movie?
I think so. I think that's what it's about. There's a whole bunch of... It's a real old Disney movie. We'll have to do that one.
Well, okay.
Just all of those movies when we were thinking about The Parent Trap made me think of it. Sorry.
Did you ever see Computer Wore Tennis Shoes with Kurt Russell?
No.
Yeah, he was in that one, and then he was in another Disney original movie that was like live action. I don't know if it was a TV movie or what.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
in particular, Computer Wore Tennis Shoes is pretty sweet, mostly because it was made in, like, I think, late 60s or early 70s. So they have really dated computers. Kind of like the dated Razor telephones that people use in this movie, except a little bit older.
Good pullback. Because we got to talk about Savannah and Emma.
I feel like we just want to talk about everything but frenemies
right.
in this episode.
So I imagine the episode that we record later where we talk about stuff, we'll just want to talk about frenemies.
Oh, probably. Probably in 2 weeks, people will be listening to the Hodge podcast and go, oh my God, they've just been talking about frenemies. This is pretty much an episode of the Family Films. Why did I resubscribe? Why did I subscribe to this?
I didn't subscribe for a reason.
Anyway, is it Emma right?
Yeah, Emma is the British girl.
Okay. So Emma seems like she's having major culture shock, while Savannah is living the dream, doesn't have to deal with her shitty brothers.
Right.
Doesn't have to deal with being poor, because she can just have all the best things in life. But the other girl decides, hey, Savannah's got Jake, the smart science kid.
Yeah,
with the cool dog and the roller backpack. And that's what I want in life.
Yeah.
He's got a backpack on wheels.
Right, we could put all of our books in that, and he could pull it with no problem.
We could get the dog to pull it. I guarantee. Dog can sort his mail, for Christ's sake.
Right.
This is going to be my boyfriend, hands down. I'm taking your life.
And then she's like, well, I'll take your life and your boyfriend. Her boyfriend, total douchebag.
So these frenemies, like, it's like they're friends for like a day. And then they're enemies. I feel like this one,
later.
I didn't care for this one.
This was
my least favorite segment of frenemies.
And then
honestly, I just had enough of frenemy stories.
Right. And you know, let's just wrap this up. And then
let's
talk
wrap
about
it up. It ends
movie.
With they're having Emma's birthday party. Savannah's taking it. And Emma's learning, I want all my rich stuff. So I'm going to tell them. And I helped you out. I showed you what being a better girlfriend is like. I think is part of it.
Yeah,
because the other girl's like really timid around him because she still likes him.
Yeah, and they just had never really said anything. Still,
this is like a really lame ass Degrassi.
Yeah,
yeah. Like that's what I felt like the whole time. I'm like, this is like if Degrassi was really lame.
Yeah.
Segue for a second. We should do a whole podcast where we just watch Degrassi. Justin and Zane walk you through Degrassi. Boom. Season one.
It could be called Keeping It Classy in Degrassi.
Oh, can we please do this?
Yes.
Oh.
We should do hilarious.
Coming to the Hodge Podcast Network June 2014.
You know, though this was your least favorite segment of this, it had my favorite lesson of all of these. And that's just tacos are delicious.
That's right. There is a scene where the Hallie and Avalon show up at the party. They turn it into a big dance party and invite a taco truck.
Oh.
And the girl's rich parents are outside eating tacos. They're just like, these are fantastic.
And he's like, we should have a taco night.
And That's the moral of the story.
Yeah, tacos are delicious.
The moral of the story of Frenemies is not so much friends becoming enemies, becoming friends again, but tacos are delicious. And on that note, we got to do our ratings.
Okay.
Because
out of 10?
First, tacos, 1 out of 10.
11.
What do you rate them? I'm just going to stick with 10. I'm not breaking the scale.
Oh, I'm breaking the scale.
So tacos are... No, is there like a 12? What would be 12?
There isn't a 12.
So tacos
That's
are above
too far.
Everything.
I don't want to go way past the limit.
Okay, well, let's break it down into subdivisions here. Hard shell tacos, soft shell tacos.
Oh. I feel like if you're going to soft shell taco, it's almost like a burrito.
That's what I say. So
but
mine
I like
is
both.
10... Zero.
Zero for the soft taco.
Zero
no
for
love
soft
for the
taco.
Soft taco.
No love, because you know what? You can just go with some other different Mexican food that is wrapped in a soft tortilla.
But what if you're a Taco
leave tacos,
Bell, and you're just like, I just want a little bit. I get a soft taco every now and then.
Well, you can get a crunchy taco for the same price.
Yeah, but then what if you're driving it? It's a mess.
Oh, it's absolutely
okay,
mess.
But they do have tacos that are hard-shelled that are Dorito-flavored.
Yeah.
And those are
they
a 12.
Have a, they have those in, you know,
those are a 12.
12. The Doritos Locos Tacos.
Doritos Locos Tacos.
So they talk all tacos. Even like, what about good homemade tacos? There's the baby birds again.
Yeah, but you know what? You can't.
You gotta get those baby birds out of your wall.
You can't make a Doritos Locos at Homos. It's not happening, buddy. You can try all you want. You can hot glue a bunch of Doritos together in the shape of a taco. I've tried it. It's not the same.
No, I think you could do it. I think all you'd have to do is, hear me out on this, ranch dressing packet, like a Hidden Valley packet.
Ugh.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Put it, mix it maybe with some other spices inside of like an olive oil, and then brush it onto regular-ass taco shells, put them in the oven, and cook it.
That sounds okay, but I feel like...
I think you get almost the same effect.
Almost. Yeah.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't be eating Taco Bell. I mean, come on. You could make chicken tacos, fish tacos.
Ew.
All Doritos. You don't like...
Nope, I just like the old school taco.
What? Okay.
Meat, cheese. That's all I'll put on my tacos.
No, but
that's not a goof. Meat, cheese. If you make me tacos, meat, cheese.
What about chicken? Do you like chicken?
I've never had chicken on a taco. That sounds locos.
So you've never put meat other than just like ground beef into a taco?
Nope, I swear to you, I have not.
Listen, I'm going to take you out. We're going to get you some chicken tacos so you can understand that it's like you can put anything in there. And that's going to make us not be frenemies.
Right.
We're going to bond over tacos.
I give the movie a 6.
I'm going to go 5.
Okay, I figured.
Because I don't like them as much as tacos at all. I felt like it was entertaining enough, but in a bad movie way.
Right.
It was entertaining because it wasn't that good. And it was pretty ridiculous. Great dog, though.
Great dog.
Great dog.
That's why I'd give it a 6. The rest of it sucks.
But it instantly... I mean, it went in the toilet as soon as they brought that iPad.
Right.
I don't care anymore. I don't care about this movie. It is opening up with the movie being played on an iPad.
You know,
done.
I was excited to watch this because I like watching new kids' movies because I would never watch these in my leisure time. So this is the only practical way you can watch a movie made in 2012 for children. I was just very disappointed by the fact that I don't feel that it was representative of children today, but children younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I mean? I feel like... these like references wouldn't have been good if this movie was made when we were kids almost at times.
And I agree on that. It's just, it's crappy. It's not that good.
Poorly written. Maybe those references are in the book and they're like, we're not going to fuck this up.
But you might get a giggle out of it. If you like watching family films for bad entertainment value.
Yeah.
It's not a Judy Moody in the Not Bummer Summer.
No, we're on
no
the quest.
Judy Moody.
We're on the quest for the next Judy Moody. That's what I feel like we've been doing ever since we watched Judy Moody. But we
it's
just keep watching these
just...
bad fucking movies.
But we could have had Vampire
5.
Dog.
I didn't give
we
this could a have 5. Had... I don't want to give it a 6. That's too much correct.
All right. Well, hear me out. Episode 2 of Have You Seen My Childhood. Can we go and do Vampire Dog or Ghost Cat?
Maybe.
Or do a Vampire Dog Ghost Cat double feature?
I'm thinking of Beverly Hills Chihuahua 3.
Have you seen Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2?
Or 1, no.
Why do you want to start at 3?
Because that's how I want to watch it.
Backwards? But what if 4 comes out?
Then we'll watch 4 instead of 3. I just want to watch the newest one.
You got to start with one. I had to watch Beverly Hills Chihuahua 1.
I don't want to see that. George Lopez is in it.
He does a voice.
I know. I don't really like him.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua is awful. It's terrible.
I know. That's what I'm
watching. Did I ever tell you how I watched Beverly Hills Chihuahua?
No.
I went into the newspaper where I was writing movie reviews, and I said, I want to write this, but I'm only going to write it if my headline can be Beverly Hills Chihuahua, colon, I just had to know. And they agreed, and that was, I was like, all right, well, that's my
early,
review this week.
Early Hodge Podcast Family Films review.
Was not a fan. It's kind of racist.
Yeah.
It's pretty racist.
Yeah.
That's what I felt about it.
Like Tyler Perry and...
No. It's not in that same league, but it's pretty racist. It's like George Lopez racist.
Okay.
Type that into Google. I bet you if you type in George Lopez, racist comes up third. You want to take a bet on it?
It's like race car.
Racist.
What would be the second one? Race. Okay, George Lopez race car is the first one.
Obviously. Then racist would be two.
George Lopez three. Show record how to. We should probably do some reviews up on this movie.
Yeah, because, folks, if you're coming into this, the first episode of Have You Seen My Childhood, and you haven't been listening to the Hodge Podcast, we kind of started this as a... It's a weird intro. We know. So we're going to have to tell you now, as well as our review, we also take a look at what users from Amazon.com have been saying.
No, we're not going to, because it's a Disney Channel original movie that has not been released on DVD.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Well,
so we will be joining IMDb.
IMDb. That is the backup choice, because every once in a while we run into this. You know what, though? We always just do stuff that's on Netflix. I feel like we should go back. We should get into the more obscure stuff. Like, come on, we've pulled out Santa with Muscles. I feel like we gotta start digging in that type of a pool instead of just our Netflix pool. Because we always end up with frenemies and such. You got a review?
I got one.
Or how do you feel about that? With pulling out more stuff that's...
I like doing that. We should maybe do one new one, one old one, like an alternate. Because I really like doing these really new ones. Because it's just like,
all right,
what are they showing kids now? I want to know. But I don't want to watch it on my own. I want to be like, well, I have an excuse.
I like it. So we'll be at you next week, maybe with an old one. We'll see how it turns out. We got to get some of the old Hodge Podcast episodes. Get those out there. Yeah. That was kind of the plan. Like, I want Good Burger back. That's what we should debut with. Do this, as well as we'll put the Good Burger episode out.
I like it.
Because we're kind of trying to archive our old family films, at least the ones that are worth archiving. There might be some that aren't that good we don't want to talk about. I don't know if we'll put Buttercream Gang up there.
We'll see.
It's kind of like the opposite.
Well, my review from Amazon.com is from Monster Heat 0424 from January 15th of 2012. The review is titled Frenemies? Heck yes, period. Warner, spoilers. Thanks for spoiler tagging at Monster Heat.
Yeah.
Hate for you to ruin this movie for anybody. This movie is far more than just another Disney movie. The main idea that two people, even BFFs, can become enemies. Another thing that should have been paid attention is that Julianne, played by Stephanie Scott, uses people for good grades. It's more of a kid-friendly approach to the idea of using people, but shall not be taken as a joke, even though she was jokingly pushed over by a dog to teach that lesson. Overall, it was a very good, cute kids movie and enjoyable for kids and adults alike. I think it's good that they have different stories throughout the movie to keep you sitting there wanting to know what's next. I highly suggest this movie to young teens and kids out there who have light enough expectations to give this movie a chance. It's not just an average, mediocre Disney movie. It's very well done. But if you have low expectations, she recommends it.
If you're used to Disney Channel original movies, you're probably going to be fine with Frenemies. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Though, you know, I feel like
I've seen some good ones.
Do you think that it depends on what age you're grown up watching Disney Channel movies as to which ones you like? Because I'll be honest, I like me some Brink. but I haven't watched Brink in a long time. Do you think that, like, Frenemies is the same quality as Brink as far as production value, story?
Oh, I don't know.
What kids think about, like, do you think kids in 10 years are going to be like, oh, man, do you remember Frenemies? Wasn't Frenemies the best? You know, because yeah, do you ever go through that with people where you bring up family films that you used to watch? It's something really ridiculous that was just always on TV, and you're like, oh, fuck yeah, I remember that. I love that.
Yeah.
And like, most people be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, Johnny, you always tsunami. Tell the people that had really lonely childhoods. So this one comes from someone named B. Kogan Bing, I believe a representative of the search engine Bing. And they say, Frenemies, Frenemies, just perfect blenemies. And mention that Shake It Up stars Belle Thorne and Zendaya, and Stephanie Scott of Ant Farm star in the latest Disney Studio teen offering, Frenemies. I don't even know what most of that means. Everything
I always
from...
see that Shake 'Em Up show is on, but I never watch it because it's on the Disney Channel, and I imagine it requires movement.
It's on the wait.
Shake it up.
Movement?
It sounds like it's a busy show. Like a,
yeah,
they're really doing something. I don't want to be a part of
that. And you're also what, 27, 26?
Yes.
Probably shouldn't be watching it.
No,
not daily. At least.
You know, it pops up on the promos for the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, but I will admit to that.
B. Kogan says it's a tribute to today texting culture, and it's a trilogy. Those are two separate sentences right there.
It's not really a trilogy.
It's not. No, it's
an anthology.
Yeah.
Dick.
But they also said it's a tribute to today texting culture. No, today's just today texting culture. That doesn't work.
Well, there is no tomato meter, so we can't play that game.
Okay, well,
it's not even showing up. I can't even find it on here.
Let me go on. Act one is your boy and dog story with Nick Robinson as a science geek and his best friend, his dog Murray, who is real intuitive and smarter than a lot of people. How he's a good judge of character as he spots how shallow teen queen Scott is, and the girl for him is Mary Mouser. After all, anyone who is an animal lover has got plenty going for them. I don't even really know what those sentences mean. I kind of feel like those are just random words thrown together.
It's pretty crazy.
Who is Mary? Are they... Also, I noticed they keep referring to the actual actors. Are these well-known people?
Apparently.
Maybe they're just copying the names from the IMDb. They're like, oh, this person and this person.
I feel like it's probably one of those things that kids really like are those two girls, because they were like, they were the ones that did the wraparounds. They're the ones who were the first ones on the cover. They're the ones that's names are first on IMDb. So I feel like they're the ones that were just like, okay, we got to really sell this Frenemy shit.
But taking center stage... In Act 2 are bloggers Bella Thorne and Zendaya. So yeah, see, they're using just the actor names. Who go to school with Robinson, Scott, and Mouser and have recorded their story for posterity. The two best girl buds are put to an acid test when they compete for a position with Jessalyn Wanlim's magazine, and her character is a light version of Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada. Will friendship trump ambition? This is a Disney Studios production, so you know the answer. I feel like this was written almost like by somebody, like just as like a fake review. They're like, we need some reviews
need
for
some,
Frenemies.
Yeah,
there, let's just pay some SEO writers to crap out some articles really quick. Like, because it's very hard to read in particular.
It's really hard to find reviews for.
I'm just gonna go right to the end of this. They say it's not a bad film. I like the first story best, but then again, I'm a cat lover, so no one comes between me and him. There
it's
wasn't
about a dog.
There wasn't.
Maybe he's like, I relate.
Me and my cat are pretty close too.
Well, one time, me and my dog competed for a writing spot on a magazine, so I related more to the second one.
Do you got another review?
No, I can't find any more.
Was yours from I Don't Eat or 13666?
No, mine was from some Monster Heat.
Okay, well, I'm gonna do a quick one here. 13666 says, I don't even. And, okay, I won't lie, this movie made me chuckle a few times. But by the end of the day, it was stupid, trashy nonsense. And I'm not saying that because it's a film aimed at kids. You can watch much better movies with your children. I'd even recommend High School Musical over this garbage. I don't know how bad High School Musical is.
Oh, maybe we should watch that. I've never seen that.
Maybe that should come up pretty soon in this.
Let's watch the third one.
I don't want to say next.
Let's just watch the third one, though.
Why do you want to go backwards on all these
movies? I just don't want to watch the other ones. I just want to see how they end it.
All right. Okay. I'm in. High School Musical 3. We'll do it.
All right.
And then we'll decide if we want to do
it. I don't know that the second one's like a summer one where it looks like they're at the beach, so that might be fun. I don't want to watch the first one, though.
Yeah, not the first one. We'll get to that if we like 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Well, folks, I think we've gone on long enough about frenemies.
I think it's going to bring us to that question that we're going to ask you every week.
Every week when we end the episode, we're going to end you with a question. So, have you seen My Childhood?
We got to play that song. God damn it.
We can't get the song.
You can just play it. They will know.
Okay.
Wait. No, nobody tell Michael Jackson about this, please. Not that one. He was in Bugsy Malone. Not that one. He won't care. You can tell him, but he was not going to care.
That's like an Easter egg for the show.
If you listen to the show a bunch.
If you made it this far, you got this.
And hopefully you have better hearing. Because it's really whispering.
It's really, really quiet.
I hope you're not driving. And you thought that your headphones went out. Or your car's locked up now. If so, we're really sorry. We apologize.
Thanks for listening to the show. I'm searching for the world that I come from, 'cause I've been looking around in the lost and found of my heart. No one understands me. Judge me.